This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. Right now, I'm very happy to have Jessica Vaughn with us. She is the Director of Policy Studies at the Center for Immigration Studies. And Jessica, we thank you so much for coming on today. And let's get right into it, Jessica. This story is horrific. I think the count is up to 50 migrants dead who were found in this tractor trailer in Texas. Can you give my audience a little bit of information about what's unfolding?
Yes, that's right. This is apparently the deadliest human smuggling incident ever on U.S. soil. There were 100 people packed into a tractor-trailer truck who were discovered about 6 p.m. last night by a city worker after he heard a cry for help. And when they got the trailer part open, there were 50 people, about 46 were found dead on the scene, and another four have since died. It's an absolute tragedy. They range in ages from kids to some people in their 20s and 30s from Mexico mostly, but also Guatemala and Honduras. And the truck itself was a clone that was made illegally of a genuine truck belonging to a legitimate trucker in another part of the state. And what they did was to get through the border, the smugglers had everyone douse themselves with steak seasoning to fool the dogs that sniff the trucks, and to detect people or drugs in as cargo. But it was 100 degrees yesterday in San Antonio. The truck was found at a spot where the smugglers typically will bring people and then drop them off and, kind of reshuffle them to get to their final destination. But sadly, this is the kind of thing that is happening more and more often, these tragedies, this being the worst, because of the Biden administration's failure to secure our border, failure to take this problem seriously, and actually encouraging people to put themselves and their lives in the hands of these despicable criminal smuggling organizations.
Yeah, and the fire chief on the scene said the patients that they were able to get out of the truck were hot to the touch and dehydrated. Like you said, it was over 100 degrees in Texas, and it's a horrific story. You just mentioned this, Jessica, but Governor Greg Abbott also tweeted out that these deaths are on Biden. They are a result of his deadly open border policies. Do you think, and we've seen Biden rush out to talk to reporters and to get in front of cameras when he thinks that he can denounce the Border Patrol for fake stories he sees on Twitter. Do you think that he will be rushing to talk to reporters today or to comment on this issue?
Oh, I doubt it. He is not going to want any hard questions whatsoever on this tragedy. He's going to just try to breeze through his day, get his naps in, I'm sure, and try to figure out how to communicate better about the great success, supposedly, of his border policy, or just talk about something else that he thinks will distract people from this horrific event. But there is no doubt that, this happened on his watch, and it's happening as a result of his policies. We know how to control the border. The professionals in the Department of Homeland Security know what they should be able to do, not allowed to do it, and the president just wants people to look the other way.
Yeah, and another part of this story, and we've talked about this theme before, Jessica, when we've had you on the show, is this idea, this false premise that Joe Biden is somehow compassionate and humane by giving migrants the false idea that it's going to be hunky-dory if they show up here. And that kind of narrative that he started spinning when he was on the campaign trail has really led to a lot of disasters. And there's nothing humane about these policies. They're actually leading to a lot of death and a lot of destruction. And I wanted to play you a cut here because I don't know if you'll even be able to believe this. This is Joe Scarborough coming a little too late, in my opinion, to this realization. This is cut 19.
It's one thing I don't understand. It's kind of like when I talk about homelessness, there's nothing progressive about having people sleeping in 10-degree weather, sleeping on grates. That's not progressive. There's also nothing progressive about encouraging migrants to risk their lives going across the desert to come into the United States illegally.
What's your reaction to that, Jessica?
Well, he's absolutely right, but I think he's a little bit late to pick up on this because we're talking about now, we're at about 1.5 million illegal crossers encountered by the Border Patrol in the last 18 months. And not only is this cruel to entice migrants to do this, there are real downsides for Americans, for American communities, there are costs for taxpayers, and people are literally dying. And this isn't, this is the biggest event, the biggest tragedy, but it's certainly not the first. I mean, we've been hearing about record numbers of rescues and deaths along the border all along now for the last year and a half. And this one really shocks the conscience because of the numbers and the cruelty of it. But it certainly is not something new. And again, you know, sometimes the problem is that the Democrats' answer to this, because they like an open border policy, is that they want to make it safer for unlimited numbers of people to cross. They want to legalize them as soon as they get here, which only encourages more of this. They don't want to stop it. They don't want to put the smugglers out of business. They don't want to actually secure the border for the safety of our country and the integrity of our legal immigration system.
Yeah, and another part of that, Jessica, and that's very well said, is that what they're saying as far as this administration goes does not really sync up with what we're seeing with our own eyes. And they tend to think that just by saying a simple sentence like, you know, don't come, that that's going to undo all of the damage that they've now caused. This is Karine Jean-Pierre talking about this today. This is Cut 18.
The fact of the matter is the border is closed, which is in part why you see people trying to make this dangerous journey using smuggling networks.
Is that enough, Jessica, to, like you said, this has been going on for a very long time. I know that the Center for Immigration Studies has an article up about the over 1 million migrants that we've now seen. Is saying that the border is closed, is that going to be enough to push back this surge of people?
No, it's because it's a lie, because nobody's listening to the White House press secretary. What they're listening to is their family and friends who have gone before them and succeeded in getting here. You know, they're hearing back from them on social media and on phone calls. They're getting pictures of people who've made it into the United States and are being allowed to stay here. That's what they're listening to. This is, you know, this is a charade that the White House is trying to put over on the American people, that, you know, just by saying the border is shut makes it so. But Americans are not stupid. They can see what's happening themselves in their own communities, and they know what a problem it is.
I'm speaking with Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies. Jessica, another big story today that's not going to get a lot of play because the January 6th hearings continue, but Biden's pick for ICE director, Ed Gonzalez, has withdrawn his nomination. Do you have any reaction to that?
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. Well, first of all, Mr. Gonzalez, terrible choice to lead ICE. He, in his career as a police chief or sheriff in the Houston area, Harris County, was marked by outright hostility to ICE and immigration enforcement and, you know, attempting to make the county a sanctuary, which he couldn't accomplish because of Texas's good state laws forbidding that kind of sanctuary policy. But he's done everything he can in his career to obstruct immigration enforcement and to really to demonize ICE. And he simply didn't have enough support in Senate to get through. And so, you know, I'm sure I'm sure he'd like to be head of ICE, but I think he must have been told to just, you know, go away quietly because the White House knew that it couldn't get him through, especially in the context of this, you know, horrible ongoing border crisis.
Jessica Vaughn,
he just wasn't a serious contender.
Yeah, and he joins the ranks of a lot of people who weren't serious contenders and who also are not going to go through as their road stops at being nominees. Jessica Vaughn, we thank you so much for joining us. Can you give people your Twitter handle and also tell people where they can read all of your reports?
Yes, I tweeted at Jessica V at underline CIS, and everything we do is on our website at cis.org.
Yes, and next time I have Jessica on, I will talk to her about some good news, which is the New York Supreme Court struck down the law that allowed non-citizens to vote. So it's not all bad news, but there's definitely a preponderance of very sad, tragic news today as far as illegal immigration goes. We will be back with your calls. I have some more sound of this I want to get to, including sound from CNN. And was it CNN talking about some of the issues with Biden's open border policies. We have a lot to get to today. We'll check in what's happening here. I know that Mark Meadows' former aide is testifying for this January 6th committee hearing. I think they pulled it together at the last minute because it was such breaking news. So I'm sure we'll have some bombshell to report when we come back. Call in if you want, 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Yeah, and it's really bad at the moment. I was down in Arizona recently, and everybody is talking about the situation, and many actually talking about the tragedy of the situation of women getting raped as they come across, of children getting separated from their parents, of children getting raped as they come across, of the people smugglers really taking advantage of what is seen as an open door policy. And the message gets back very fast from people from, you know, the U.S. to other countries that at the moment it's easier to get in, which seems to be why we are seeing more people coming across the border. As you say, Barack Obama did have a surge in cases. Donald Trump had a surge in cases at one point. And now Joe Biden is having a real surge in cases. And it's going to take more than Kamala Harris going to the what are known as the triangle countries, the countries that send that from where most of these people are coming, because she went and she said the message is don't come to the States. Nobody seems to have heard that message, and they're still coming.
Right. And KJP said the border is closed, and Mayorkas said the border is closed, and Kamala said don't come. And yet here we are with 50 people dead because they were part of the largest smuggling catastrophe that the United States has ever seen. And we're not going to hear a peep about it from Joe Biden, if I had to guess. I would love to be proven wrong on that. Maybe he'll come out, but I don't think he'll come out with the same pep in his step that he had when he was talking about the border agents. I don't think he'll be as, you know, as fake angry. I don't think he'll have that outrage that he loves to throw around when he's trying to demean American citizens. And it's a tragedy. It's awful because if these people, these Democrats, these woke, tolerant social justice warriors really cared about this administration supposedly being humane, then they would be up in arms about this. There were children in that truck. And instead, all we're seeing now is the former aide to Mark Meadows testifying and some graphic of the White House being shown. They're like showing us an interactive graphic of the White House. I feel like I'm on Realtor.com. Wonderful. How many millions of dollars were spent so that I could see where Pence's room is versus the Oval Office? I saw Pence's office, Meadows office, Trump's office. And I still don't understand why this was a huge bombshell. Did something come out that I don't know about?
No, and I don't understand that either. I mean, anybody in Ultra MAGA gets a free Lego set when you sign up, so we don't even need that graphic.
Did we ever figure out if the Lego set that Trump posed with his grandson, Trump's grandson built the White House Lego set, and one of the reporters was wondering, did he build it himself or did he have help? And I don't know if we ever really crossed that T and dotted that I. Did we figure that out? Because that's one of the greatest mysteries.
We actually haven't. That is actually going to be the next committee hearing that they put together with Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson.
We will figure out the Lego set situation the same day we figure out who Ray Epps is, if I had to guess. In other news, though, this immigration story is huge. And also New York Supreme Court, as I mentioned to Jessica Vaughn, strikes down the law that allowed non-citizens to vote. This is a huge win. I'll try to get Joe Borelli on at some point this week, the councilman from New York City from Long Island, to talk about this story. But
oh, we have some breaking audio. Biden is at the G7 doing something. He's talking to some guy. And this is what happened at the end.
But thank you for your hospitality. It's unmatched.
Just walks away when a reporter asks about the deaths of 50 migrants in Texas.
Oh, so we have our answer, I guess. That is our answer. You hate to see it. It's so predictable, though, isn't it? You know, Jared, I have to tell you that this Senate race, I think it's, is that what I was looking at here? There's a clip of what's happening in New Hampshire. There was like a debate and it gets wild. I'm going to do a little more research on it before I play it in the next segment. But I think people are really going to like this cut. In other news, though, I wanted to give you a follow-up on Nancy Pelosi and what happened. If you missed it, Texas GOP Representative Myra Flores, we've talked a lot about her in the last couple of days. She flipped a seat from blue to red, and it hadn't happened in like 100 years, over 100 years. And she's incredible. She's born in Mexico. She's married to a Border Patrol agent. She is a strong, confident, smart woman. And so naturally, the Democrats despise her. I mean, you understand why. I just listed it all off. So her kids and her family were at this swearing-in ceremony with Nancy Pelosi, and Nance gave her the old, you know, elbow. She threw a bow at her. And the daughter did not move. The daughter kept her feet planted. She's just like her mom. She's tough. And it picked up on Twitter, and it picked up on social media, and some news outlets were running with this story that was true. Nancy Pelosi shoved the little girl. It was on camera. Well, her spokesperson, Drew Hamill, came out and he said, "It's sad to see news outlets that know better misrepresent the speaker's effort to ensure Representative Flores's daughter wouldn't be hidden behind her in all of the photos of such an important moment for their family." In other words, she was trying to make sure the little girl was included in the picture. And that's why, everyone, if you feel like you're taking crazy pills, that's why she shoved her. That's why she pushed her with her elbow, was so that she could include the little girl in the photo. Because when you're trying to include someone in a photo, the natural reaction is to stick your elbow towards them and give them a nice push, right? 844-500-4242. Hollywood wisdom coming at you when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
As it turns out, it was a setup.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I'll start with the babiest of the babiest of the baby steps. Open abortion clinics on federal land. Right. 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 Right.
That was Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about opening abortion clinics on federal lands, which
the
is...
The babiest of the baby steps.
Yeah, you noticed
maybe
that phrasing.
Rethink that?
Well, Byron Donalds had a really good tweet about this. He's the pro-Trump, liberty-loving congressman from Florida, and he wrote, "Democrats approving federal lands for abortions. Yeah! Also, Democrats approving federal lands for oil? No. Make it make sense." Well, let's talk a little bit what's going on with oil right now, because there was an interesting moment yesterday with Joe Biden, and he was pulled aside by France's President Macron, and Macron was overheard telling Biden that the United Arab Emirates is at max capacity and that the Saudis can't produce much more oil. It appears to be a direct appeal to Biden to produce more oil. This is from Michael Schellenberger. And it was an interesting conversation because you really saw Jake Sullivan sweating because he was trying to get Joe Biden. I don't think it really registered with him that it was a big deal. Like, he was kind of like, who's this guy? Is he what? I'm trying to get inside of my ice cream. Why does he keep pulling my arm? So Joe Biden was cool as a cucumber, because why wouldn't he be? He's got no idea what's being said. But Jake Sullivan was sweating to the oldies. He was like, oh my gosh, get him out of here. Finally, they convinced Macron, can we just bring this inside, please? And he relented and said, yeah, we can talk about it inside. But it was an interesting little insight to what happens there. And you could tell the people were trying to block out the cameras, but one guy had his camera zoned in and he was like, listen, this is the only footage worth playing that I'm probably going to get all week, so I'm getting it. There, I saw a headline on Fox today about the G7, and it said that critics were accusing the members, the leaders of the G7, of trying to look hip. So you know what my reaction was? Trying? They look as hip as can be. Are you kidding me? All those old white guys with navy suits on and opened, they got the open look. You know, they don't have no ties, no nothing. They all look like Beto on the cover of Vanity Fair. You don't get hipper than that. What do you want them to pull out their skateboards? How can you be more hip than Boris Johnson and Joe Biden and Justin Trudeau? Show me a hipper crew. Am I wrong?
It really did look like a group of dads on vacation going to the club trying to scam chicks. Like, that's what it looked like. It was so bad.
Well, you know who they needed there to bring a little youth, a little sparkle, a little passion to this blah, blah, blah affair?
Hillary Clinton.
Wrong. Greta Thunberg.
Blah, 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 blah.
Greta Thunberg was at the Glastonbury Fest, and she was talking to the crowds. She's like a little rock star. She is a celebrity as far as climate change goes. We're going to get into real celebrities in a second. But this is Greta Thunberg. She's always such a ray of sunshine. You know, she just shows up. She tells everybody the world's going to end. And my favorite part is she tells everyone the world's going to end, and she has an issue with how people are going to try to fix it. If you're not trying to fix it in the right way, she's got a problem with that too. Let's take a little bit of Greta. It's been a while since we've played Greta on the Grace Curley Show. This is cut 31.
Say that we are in a climate emergency as they open up new coal mines, new oil fields, and new pipelines. It has not only become socially acceptable for our leaders to lie, it is more or less what we expect them to do. Yeah.
I have to give credit to Greta. You know, she does go after these Davos types. I think she fully knows how big of phonies they are. Say what you want, I think she walks the walk. Remember when she had to go somewhere and she sailed around the world? That's more climate activism than I've ever seen from John Kerry. He doesn't get in a sailboat, he gets in the flying squirrel. Let's play the other Greta. This is cut 32.
It's the only choice for somebody like me.
She's talking about the climate crisis and how it's the biggest story in the world. Cut 32.
This crisis is the biggest story in the world. And it must be spoken as far and as wide as possible, as far as our voices can carry, and even further still. It must be told in articles, newspapers, in movies and songs, at breakfast tables, lunch meetings and family gatherings, in lifts, at bus stops, and in rural shops. In schools, boardrooms and marketplaces, in the fields, in the warehouses, and on the factory floors, at union meetings, political workshops, and football games, in kindergartens and in old people's homes, at hospitals and at music festivals like Glastonbury. On social media and on the evening news, on dusty country roads and in the alleys of our cities and towns.
Yeah, but what if someone wants to watch a football game?
You stand on the edge of the abyss.
Can you imagine being at a football game and you're trying to watch, you're trying to enjoy, and suddenly someone next to you says, "Hey, do you have a minute to talk about climate change?" How did I get so lucky to sit next to this person? She just named every place. If she ran a newspaper, it would be all climate all the time. She should really open up like a network like Fox and just do 24/7 coverage of, I don't even know, the polar ice caps.
This climate crisis.
She's committed. But some of us have other stuff on our minds. You know, this is a problem of, I hate to say this. How am I getting in trouble here? This feels like a problem of privilege. Because not all of us have the privilege of being able to put our schooling and our lives and our jobs on hold to go to football games in old people's homes and spread the gospel of climate change. Imagine the old people's homes and you show up there. She mentioned old people. Greta, I'm not in the business of trying to tell you what to do. I don't think that's your audience. I don't think the kindergarten class that you mentioned or the old people's homes, I think you're going to get the same attention span from both areas. And they're all going to say, "What is it, snack time yet?" I mean, you're going to lose the crowd. Jared, the truth is, I know this from being on a microphone. You only get so long to wow the crowd. And there's very few things that get people to pay attention.
Yeah, screaming about the earth rising by 1 degree by the year 2168 doesn't really hold your 80-year-old audience.
Yeah, they're going to say, "I thought this was bingo. Merle, I thought this was bingo. She won't stop talking about the weather. What time is it?" No, I don't think that's going to work, Greta. I just don't see that happening. And you know what else, though? It's like she's lost kind of... Greta is committed to this, but no one else is. Like, I don't even hear...
Where's everybody?
I know John Kerry talks about green steel or, you know, whatever. He brings James Taylor around with him. Maybe James can go to the nursing homes. That might be good, too. That'd be like a double feature. First it's Greta, then it's James Taylor and John Kerry. And then we can wrap it all up with who's another good climate activist? Oh, Al Gore. Al Gore can come out. We'll do a showing of An Inconvenient Truth. And then we'll talk. And then everyone can make a prediction. You know what it would be like, Jared? It'd be like a baby shower. You know how they say, you know, Jared. They'll say, what day do you think the baby's going to be born? Do you think it's going to be a boy or a girl? But this party could be a little bit of have all the old timers. What year do you think the world's going to end? And whoever gets closest wins. And what do they win, Jared? What are the old people going to win? We got to think of a good prize for all the old timers. Oh, I know what they win. They win that they don't have to go to these things anymore where they get talked to about climate change.
They win 5 minutes away from Greta.
They win 5 minutes of peace in their old age where they don't get yelled at for being on the wrong side of history. All those old timers are like, "Oh, I'm on the wrong side of history. Okay. Can I get a vodka soda, please?"
All you veterans who fought the Nazis, you were on the wrong side of history.
Yeah.
If you don't buy into climate change.
Greta's going to say, "President Joe Biden says my generation is the best of all time. We are the most giving. We have interracial commercials. What have you done?" That's what they need to hear. That's what's going to really, that's called giving back, Jared. What have you done lately? You going to any old people's homes and telling them about the polar bears? I didn't think so.
I consider listening to Joe Biden's speeches every day my volunteer work with the elderly.
Yeah, that's your contribution, your in-kind contribution to society. Thank you for that. That's the Human Fund.
I'm a giver.
You are a giver. Let's talk a little bit about celebrities here before we move on. Can I have a little bit of, this is a segment we never, we've played a couple times, but I want to bring it back as we get closer to the midterms and all of these geniuses, all of these think tank type LA Tinseltown, wonderful people, beautiful people, sophisticated people are going to tell us not just about who we should vote for, but also they'll insult us in the process. They really never stop. It's Hollywood time.
This isn't Hollywood where someone takes care of things with a phone call. This is the real world.
Do you know who I am?
I'd like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press. It's a very bold move making tonight plant-based.
COVID is God's gift to the left.
I just want to thank my agent and God, Harvey Weinstein.
All right, Hollywood is at it again, and they're getting closer to putting together some sort of song that's going to tell us all what to do come November and tell us how this is the most important election. I know what you're thinking. They told me the last one was the most important. Forget that. Okay, this one. This time they really mean it. And Wanda Sykes, who's a comedian, who one of my followers on Twitter reminded me, got booed off the stage in 2016 at a comedy show in Boston for bashing Trump so much. She was on Stephen Colbert's show. And Stephen Miller refers to these shows as late night therapy for liberals. And it truly was. Let's take a listen to Wanda's wisdom. This could be a whole new segment. Wanda's wisdom, cut 34.
The problem is that middle stuff. It's those states in the middle. That red stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they get to tell us what to do when the majority of us live out, you know, New York, California, and we're paying for all this crap, really? I mean, right?
You know, I'm starting to think they don't like a good chunk of the country. I'm starting to think they don't like the middle stuff, as she called it. Those middle states. And I always go back to this interview Kurt Schlichter did on Howie's show, and it was after the 2016 election, and he said, if you want to insult me, if you want to make fun of me, that's one thing. He said, I'm like a lawyer, I live in LA, I've got a fancy car, that's one thing. But if you start demeaning the people who get up at the crack of dawn and work until the sun goes down and pay their taxes and raise their kids and do everything right, and love this country. And the one, by the way, all the people, the middle stuff, Jared, you know how she calls it the middle stuff? You know how celebrities like Wanda Sykes, they're always talking about all these wars that we have to fight. Max Boot tells us that the Russia invading Ukraine, this is our war. You know who fights those wars? A good chunk of the people. You know where they come from? The middle stuff. They come from the red states. A lot of them.
Yeah, they also tend to produce a lot of that food you like to eat, Wanda.
Yeah, but that's okay. It's okay to send the people from the middle stuff over into wars to die for our freedom, but it's not okay for them to have any say in our elections. We have to abolish the Electoral College because those same people that are part of the middle stuff, they have too much control.
I mean, in defense of Wanda, I'm sure all those people in New York and California are all here legally and actually count as citizens. So,
yeah. And by the way, it's a great, I hope they run with this because, again, Stephen Miller was saying, yeah, let's run everything like California. And he was, you know what he put up as a photo? The picture of all the stuff that was stolen off the train and was just piling up, all those cardboard boxes. Yeah. Syringes for everyone. Poop on the streets. Why shouldn't we let California decide everything? Why shouldn't we let New York City decide everything? By the way, Eric Adams just spent millions of dollars for rat-proof trash cans. What's not to love? Let's make the whole country like New York City and California. New York and California. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, let's do the deplorable thing again. It worked out great the first time.
Keep calling us credulous boomer rubes. Keep going with this. You're onto something. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. We still get asked all the time, does it really work? The answer is yes. Jared, tell them how great the Thunderstorm works for smells.
It's fantastic for smells because it doesn't cover up odors. It doesn't make everything smell flowery. It actually ionizes the air and it eliminates the odors, whether it's fish in a microwave or fish in a microwave again or Indian food in a microwave, whatever it is. That smell is gone once you plug it in, you turn on the Thunderstorm. Within minutes, it starts to go away, and it is completely gone within a half an hour, depending on the size of your space, naturally.
Yes, and the the pollen this year is crazy. It also is very great for, like Jared has always said, allergies. And it's small, it's easy to use, it doesn't require any air filters. And the 3-pack is the best deal you're going to get. So hop on this today. Get the 3-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. We will be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's car crossover is, I'm sorry, today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Biden will comment on immigration by the end of the day?
No. No, I do not.
94% now believe no, he will not.
So we were just talking about Wanda Sykes and her rude comments about how, you know, California and New York have more people than the middle states, so they should get to control the whole show because everything's going so well in those states that why wouldn't the entire country want to take our cues from them? But it's worse than that because I have other news from Hollywood. Howard Stern is teasing a presidential run, and he says that he wants to run for president and overturn all of this BS. The New York native went on to say, the only agenda I would have is to make the country fair again. It's very hard to have a Supreme Court that's openly lied. A guy who lost the vote won the election. How long can we keep electing people who lost the election?
Hey, don't say that about Joe Biden.
Yeah, I thought he was a Biden fan. Oh, he's talking about Trump. Okay, that's okay then. Oof, oof. Almost got himself in trouble. He almost got called in to testify at the January 6th committee hearings.
Tom Nichols would say, leave Biden alone.
He also had some other hate speech here, Jared. He said, I'm going to do a very simple thing that'll set the country straight. One vote, one person. No more electoral college. One vote, one person. I don't think that's going to...
Racism, racism.
So you're running as a Republican, huh, Howard? Very, very interesting. And this is just one other story I wanted to let you guys in on before we have 2A Tuesdays. By the way, the number is 844-500-4242. Canadian company to produce 9,000 tons of crickets for human and pet consumption. Aspire Food Group, which has facilities in Canada and the U.S., has announced that it's completed its construction of the world's largest cricket production facility. And a lot of people think that eating bugs is the way of the future. I think Biden in 2024 should run on a cricket in every pot. I think that might play well. But I guess it's a lot less expensive, and it's a source rich in protein, I've been told.
Yeah, stop taking rich people's beef, you fools. That belongs to the World Economic Forum. Eat your bugs.
Would you eat a cricket, Jared? You strike me as a bug guy.
I think I've had chocolate-covered crickets before.
You should
so it's
be
a little different. But
you should be offended by that, by the way. If I were you and someone said, Grace, you strike me as a bug girl, I thought that was going to get a rise out of you, but you just...
Well, I've had alligator, I've had snake, I've eaten a lot of weird things.
Could crickets be next? Should we do it live on the show? Jared eats crickets. You know, Jared, they're just a human being. We'll be right back with Toby Leary. Don't go anywhere.